Today's reading can be found on page 77 of the Pew Bibles, starting at Exodus 20, verse 1 to verse 12. Page 77. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you.
Great, we'll do keep that open. I'll be looking at that last verse, and then we're going to be looking at a number of others today. So to stop us having to flick all over the Bibles, other verses are going to appear on the screen in due course. But let's pray that God would help us as we look at his word. Father, thank you that you have spoken in your word and that you speak to us today through the Bible. So we pray, Lord, that would happen this morning, that as we look at these words, we would hear your voice and that you would show us what it means to live your way. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's a quote about family. Happiness is having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family in another city. So said the comedian George Burns. I like that quote because it sort of sums up our conflicting experiences of family, doesn't it? On the one hand, for most people, family is one of the best things in life, isn't it? If I were to ask you about some of your greatest, happiest memories, I suspect many of them would be great moments with family, whether it's a wedding, birth of a child, a big party. But I also suspect if I were to ask about some of your most painful memories, then some of those might be to do with family as well. It's quite revealing, isn't it? That most of us, we view family as a good thing, but actually doing family well is hard to do. Now, if you want advice on family life, there's plenty around. There are hundreds of books on marriage and parenting and everything else. But this series we're doing on Sundays is going to be a little bit different because we're going to be asking, what does God have to say about family? And that's a really good question to ask, isn't it? Because God invented the family. It's his idea, his invention. So it really makes sense to turn to the Maker's instructions on something that matters so much to us. So each week, unashamedly, we're going to be looking at what the Bible says on these things. And we're starting with what the Bible says to children. And straight away, you're thinking, hang on, Julian, you're in the wrong building here, aren't you? You should be over in the village hall. That's where nearly all of the children are. You've just sent them all out. But you see, generally, that's not how the Bible sees it. Rather, the Bible reminds us that we are all children, aren't we? Because we all have parents. And how we treat our parents matters very, very much indeed. Now, I'm aware as I talk about this, for some of us, this will be painful. Some of us have lost parents. And maybe you're feeling a great sense of loss, even if it was years ago. Maybe you had a very rocky relationship with your parents, either now or in the past. Maybe you feel you had lousy parents for one reason or another. So you'll have a whole mixture of emotions. But nevertheless, we come back to God's word, don't we? Because God is good and we trust his word is good. So what does it have to tell us about relating to parents? Well, basically, it gives us one command, but then applies it in a number of different ways. So what's the command? Well, he commands us to honour our parents. Let's have a look at that verse again. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Just to explain a bit of what's going on, God is giving instructions to his people Israel. He's just rescued them from Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea, you remember? And then this is one of the Ten Commandments, which set out how God wants his rescued people now to live. But they don't just apply to them then. All of these commandments, they're picked up later in the Bible, the New Testament. So if we want to know what God has to say to us, these are some of the real headlines, aren't they? It's always worth noticing, I think, what's first on the list. You see you're there, top of the page, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. So we mustn't neglect that relationship, must we? That's most important of all. We mustn't neglect our relationship with God. But it also includes verse 12. Honour your father and your mother. Now that word honour, what does it mean? It means literally give due weight to. We might say give proper respect to your father and mother. Notice it doesn't say obey, it says honour. And that makes a bit of difference, doesn't it? Because honouring says something about your attitude as well as your actions, isn't it? It's possible to obey without honouring. So you might remember the scene from many years ago, obeying your parents on an issue like what time you're supposed to be at home, but the slammed door and the stomping upstairs and the muttering under your breath suggests there's not much honouring going on, even as you're obeying what they say. Honour your father and your mother. Give due respect to them. Or you could put it negatively. You could turn it around, couldn't you? Don't dishonour your parents. Don't disparage your parents. Don't undermine your parents. Don't shame your parents. Don't be rude to your parents. Honour your parents. And again, it's important to notice this command was given to the whole nation, not just to the little kids. So this commandment is just as important for us to obey as it is for the children in Sunday Club or Lasers or Cave. And we're going to be doing their kind of the angle for them next Sunday when we're together. But that does mean that we all need to obey this and do it throughout our lives. If we read through the rest of the Old Testament, the rest of the Bible, we find there's no magic age at which you can stop obeying this commandment. So in other areas of life, your age changes things, doesn't it? When you're 3, you're no longer free at Legoland. In fact, it goes from free to £37.40. It's quite a leap, isn't it? When you're 12 or 15 or 18, you're no longer restricted from seeing certain films. But there's no age at which you are allowed to stop honouring your parents. You see this picked up elsewhere in the Bible. This is Proverbs 23, verse 22. Says, listen to your father who gave your life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. So here in this one, I guess, you know, the mother's now old, so you're guessing the child might be in their 40s or 50s or even older. But even then, you're not to stop respecting your mother. No, the command applies throughout the whole of their life. And in fact, it also goes beyond that point as well. So both my mum and my dad have now died, but I'm not now free to talk badly of them or disrespect them. I still need to honour my father and my mother. And that can be hard, can't it? It can be hard because no parents are perfect. And some of us, sadly, have had parents who are far from perfect. But still, we're not free to dishonour them. So we have an ongoing obligation to honour our father and our mother. And straight away, we've all got something to think about, haven't we? We've got to think about, what does that mean for us? Whatever age we may be or our parents are, even if they've died, am I still honouring and respecting them? And you might be wondering now, well, what does it mean for me to do that in my situation, you're thinking? And the answer is, I can't really tell you. Because the Bible doesn't tell us how to honour our parents in every single situation we face. That's sort of what we want, isn't it? We want the details. So in recent years, with an elderly father, my question was often, how often should I go and visit him? So it becomes a big question. Maybe you're thinking, how often should I phone them? Should I pop round? I guess all of us would like a list of things that we can then tick off. And I think that's really because deep down, we're all like a bit like the Pharisees in the New Testament. We want to turn the Word of God into a rule book where we can just then tick off all the rules when we've done them and feel much better about ourselves. But the Bible doesn't do that. It doesn't give us the detailed rules. For the most part, it just gives us principles that we need to work out for ourselves. And we're going to look at a few of those. So the first is this. Young children are to obey. Young children are to obey. That's clear from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So in this part of his letter, Paul's addressing different members of the household. So we know he's not talking about children in the sense that we're all children. He's addressing young children. So children who are still dependent, who are still at home. And he says, young children, honour their parents by obeying them. Now, obviously, that puts massive responsibility onto parents, doesn't it, as to how we bring them up. And we're going to be looking at that in 3 weeks' time. Notice they're to obey both parents. It's not respect dad, on the one hand, but no, mum's a complete pushover. No, there's no wedge to be driven between them. Children mustn't do that. Parents, we mustn't let them do that, particularly if we seem to be the favourite at the moment. No, it's so important we stand together. Young children must obey their parents. Now, I take it that obedience changes a bit during that time, or what that looks like, doesn't it? Obedience for a 14-year-old looks different from obedience from a 3-year-old, doesn't it? So there's some working out to do there. But obedience will still be a key part of their relationship while they are dependent. That's part of what it'll mean for them to honour their parents. Well, we're going to look more at that next week when the children are with us, we're all together. So young children must obey. Secondly, marriage makes a difference. Marriage does make a difference to how we relate to our parents. The Bible's very clear that marriage causes a fundamental shift in family loyalty. We saw this very recently in Genesis, if you were with us. Genesis 2:24, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. So what that's saying is that marriage creates a new family unit. It's saying a man leaves his father and mother on the one hand, and then he's united to his wife on the other. You can see the symbolism back there was a bit different, wasn't it? It was the man who left his family and then was united with his wife. You think of a church service now, the symbolism's the other way around, isn't it? So it tends to be the woman who comes in on the arm of her father and then leaves on the arm of her husband. But then it was sort of the other way around. But the same idea still, a new family unit. And a new family loyalty comes from that. So husband and wife no longer belong to their parents, they belong to one another. And that's an important thing, an important and often difficult change to come to terms with sometimes. So they say that many marriages struggle because one of the husband or wife have never really emotionally left home. Or maybe their parents are refusing to let them go. So a husband is still dictated to by his father, or a wife still always turns first to her mother. I think often that's a key question. Who do you turn to first in a crisis? Who do you ring first? If your instinct is still, oh, always straight to mum and dad first, well, maybe there's an alarm bell there. Husband or wife comes first now. I'm not saying you shouldn't get all the help you can get, but if you're married, your husband or wife comes first. Marriage should make a difference. And yet, the command still applies. So a married couple need to honour their parents in the context of being married. So we need to be asking, what does it mean for us to honour our parents now? How can I help my wife or my husband to honour their parents more? Because it wouldn't be right, would it? It wouldn't be right if being married actually made it harder for my wife or my husband to obey God on this. So can I suggest, if you're married, this is a really important thing to talk through together. How can we help one another to honour our parents? So that's the second thing. Third, Jesus must take first place. Jesus must take first place. So Jesus has a prior loyalty, even over our parents. Now that's very, very clear in Luke's gospel. It's very interesting. When you read Luke, there's one factor above all that prevents people from following Jesus. And if you know Luke, you might expect that to be riches or wealth. But actually, by a long way, it's family. Family's the thing that gets in the way. Now, we're often conscious, aren't we, that in our world, people undervalue family. And some of us live with the effects of that. But the Bible says there is an opposite danger of overvaluing family, that family becomes an idol, where it's put before God. But no, Jesus must come first. Here's a passage that we looked at last year. It does need a bit of explaining. I'll say that before I read the verses. Luke 14, 25. Large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now, we do need to understand what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying literally, hate your family. No, family is God's invention. He tells us to honour our parents. That's what we're looking at. Now, he's using a Jewish expression of the time, which was all about where is your loyalty? Where is your fundamental loyalty? So where your loyalty to one thing is so great that it's like when you compare it to anything else, it's like you hate that thing because there's so much you're number one. But don't miss the fact, it's a very strong statement, isn't it? Jesus is saying he must come before family in our loyalties. I think Jesus is being realistic here. He knows that the gospel will bring division. So this is Luke 12, 51 to 53. Jesus says this, surprising words. He says, "Do you think I came to bring peace on earth?" Everyone thinks that, don't they? Jesus says, "No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there'll be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, two against three. They'll be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." You see, the coming of Jesus can bring division in a family between those who turn to him and those who don't. And some of us will know the pain that can cause. There are some parts of the world where to admit that you've become a Christian means that your life will be in danger from your own family.